All right, hello again, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, and with me today is my good friend, Matt Drain.
Hey, how you doing?
You guys know Matt, obviously, from almost basically every episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me, and other episodes of just the regular show, but we're not doing Comics Everything Rule. Look, I'm already in a mess. We've already been talking, though, for like 2.5 hours or something about other stuff that's going to end up being weird, some kind of episodes of something. So today is the first episode of Keep It Close to Me for 2018. And so we're going to be talking about some of our favorite stuff from 2017, comics, movies, and who knows what all, and answering some of your questions and thoughts and things like that. Talking about our just talking about the future, just yeah, all this kind of stuff. We've already talked a lot about Green Lantern previously, for some reason. So let's get into it. Matt, how's 2018 treating you so far?
That's been real good so far.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Painted the house.
Wow.
The inside of it. That was one of my wife's big Christmas present things she wanted to paint. Basically, every room but the bedrooms. So last few days I've been painting a lot.
Okay.
And but it's been good. I work at a university and classes don't start till next week, so this week's been real chill.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. That's nice to have that like that last little bit of lull before things are really gonna like kick back up into high gear. How about the holidays? How'd they treat you?
Man, they were really good. This is the most chill, like non-stressful Christmas I remember in a long time. Just really relaxing. I got to see my brother, who's from Colorado, and visit some.
Well, he's from here, but
yeah, you're right. I mean, he's living in Colorado. He's from here.
You didn't have a brother that was born and then sent off to Colorado,
right? But I only see him probably once a year because he lives out in Denver, and so it's good to see him. Real kind of chill time with my parents, with my kids, and it's great. Great Christmas. How about you?
Mine was one of those things where I was very stressed out, nervous about Christmas. And just the holidays in general and all, worrying about traveling and work and getting stuff done, recording podcasts and editing things and all this stuff I need to work on and looking for a house. And there was just all this stuff leading up to it where I was like really stressed out about how it was going. I was like pre-stressed out about how it was all going to go. And then it all turned out to be great and like really easy. And some of the things that I thought were going to be stressful just never happened. So it was fantastic. And we got to see, like, tried to basically get as much of the family in as we could. Didn't get everybody, but we got as much as we could. And it was all very easygoing, like, which was just such a nice change of pace. Got to do some we did some traveling, but the traveling was very relaxing, easygoing traveling. Mm-hmm. Did fun stuff, got to see people, got to have a good time, got some very cool stuff, which is a nice surprise when you're like, when you start, you're like, man, I've got so much stuff. I was like, there's nothing I really need. Oh, there's things you need, but they're not like fun things.
Right.
And so you're just kind of going like, I'm not really worried about it. And also I start getting more worried about like, what am I going to get people? I want to make sure they know that how great I think they are.
Give them something
are.
Meaningful.
But it's also like people are, it stinks because it's also like people also kind of probably feel the same way. Because you stress, like for me at least, I stress about what I'm going to get people because I want them to feel like, oh, he didn't just give me a gift certificate, right. You know, like a gift card or something. Not that those aren't great because sometimes it's like, you know, this is basically actually the perfect thing that you could actually make some use of. Like I actually do need this Target gift card more than I need, you know, a Power Ranger or something. I don't know. I don't know what made me say a Power Ranger. There's not even any Power Rangers in the room, guys. Normally that would be the kind of thing where I would have just looked over and suddenly seen a Power Ranger, but there's nary a Power Ranger in the room. There's one in the other room, but that's not important. I'm going to tell it now because it's my podcast and I can. There's a Power Ranger in the other room I found that is so cool. I found him up in the closet. Didn't even know I had it. Apparently I had bought it at some point.
And forgot about it.
And was like, oh, I'll do something with this in a minute, but I need to put it up right now and I'll deal with it later. Put it in a closet, in a thing. And then I was cleaning out that closet and found it. And I was like, wow.
Look at this. When you reach into a coat pocket and find
a crisp 20. I'm excited if I find a crisp one, though. I mean, like, and not even find it. If I go to the bank and they give me crisp ones or something, if I get change and it's a crisp one, I'm excited. I'm very easy to please, I guess.
So you're saying people buying presents where you shouldn't have stressed that much because they could have just...
Yeah. But it was totally, like, I got such awesome things. I'm so excited, like, by stuff, like... And I got to talk about this one because it literally just happened 2 days ago. Sunday night was my friend Jess, who listeners will remember from other episodes of the show, everyone should be so lucky as to have a friend as good as Jess, because she is great and she will. She brought me, she had gotten some Christmas presents for me for Christmas. but we hadn't seen each other because I'd been out of town and we'd both been busy and stuff. And I was like having a rough weekend. And she came and saw me at work and brought the Christmas presents. And this is so awesome. I was like, she's like, what's up? And when she came in, I was like, man, today is not, you know, today has been not good right. so far. And she's like, well, it's about to get better. and one of the things she got me was the Scott Pilgrim board game. Not a board game. It's a card game, but it's in a big box. So it looks like it should be a board game. They could put it in a box this big because it's just a bunch of cards. But it comes in a great big box right. because they want you to feel like you're getting your money's worth, I guess. But yeah. And it just came out this year and it's like so awesome. We tried to figure out how to play it the other night.
Were you successful?
I think we have a little bit of an idea, but it got to a point because then this other thing happened. So that was on like Sunday, Saturday. I can't remember. I think it was Sunday. Anyway, point is Monday, WWE Monday Night Raw was here in town.
Yeah, I saw you post about that.
And well, way to spoil it for everyone, Matt. but Jess and I were talking about going. And I was trying to, I've got a friend who sometimes gets free tickets to stuff that happens at the forum. And I was like, that might happen. And Jess was like, oh, let's just get tickets and go, whatever. It's like, she's like, I'm looking at tickets right now. We can get some pretty decent ones for, mm-hmm. it's only this much. And I was like, let me wait and see if someone's going to, if we're going to get these good free seats instead. And she's like, I think if we were going to get them, they would have said something by now. And I was like, yeah, okay, you're probably right. And she's like, I'm just going to go ahead and get these. And I was like, all right. And she's like, yeah, they're pretty cheap, but they're decent or whatever. I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We'll go and have fun. It'll be fine. We got there. We had to go pick the ticket because it was the day of. We had to go pick the tickets up at will call. And, you know, she gets the tickets and then she hands me mine. And I was like, how much do I owe you? And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, well, that's awesome. Thank you so much. You know, like, this is so great. I'm so excited, even though it's like, whatever. I'm just like, but then we're walking and she was like, you haven't even looked at the ticket, have you? And I was like, no. Well, I mean, you told me. She had sent me a screen cap of where I thought the tickets were going to be. She was like, mm-hmm. we can get these tickets. And she was like, look at the tickets. And I like, look at it. And it says that they're on the floor. And I was like, wait, what? It turns out these are the best seats I've ever had.
I was going to say, is this the closest you've been?
There was one time when I was a kid that my mom took me to wrestling and it was a real big deal, but it was for a house show, which means it wasn't televised. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of their TV show things. But the big people were still there. You know, I got to see Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. It was the same year that Hulk Hogan's movie No Holds Barred came out.
Okay.
So it was the guy that played Zeus, who is an actor, but who was pretending to be this this monstrous man named Zeus. This monstrous bad guy was there playing this Zeus character. But this was back before people, like, before wrestling was, like, admitting that it's scripted. Mm-hmm. So it was very weird because I was like, I know that this guy has been in other – I've seen him in other things. So it's very weird. And, you know, and in the credit – of course, I saw that movie, and in the credits – his name is in there.
I knew it.
Well, but I'm going like, what? But he's here at wrestling being this character, like acting like Zeus, but I know his name is what? This is confusing to my child brain. But, and we were very close then, but this was like, I think this was like even closer or maybe, but like, it was certainly the closest I've ever been since I've been you know, a little kid, and it was like for, you know, a big show for like a Monday Night Raw. And we were so close. And we've been to a bunch of wrestling things before, like we usually go when they come to town. And, and we've been to like local wrestling things, and that's like a whole different thing. But to be like at the big show and that close for, you know, the first, I was just like, this is such an amazing, different experience. And like, I love watching wrestling, obviously. I think that's been well established. But the thing I hate about watching wrestling is there's stuff happening in the ring, but when you're watching it, you're hearing kind of like what's going on. You're hearing the sounds from the ring, you're hearing the sounds from the crowd, but you're also constantly bombarded by three arguing jackasses that just won't stop.
The commentators
okay. Who are like talking about what's going on, but also trying to talk about something that happened earlier in the night and something that's happening later in the night. And don't forget to use this hashtag when you're talking about this on Twitter. And like, and they're arguing with each other about stuff, and they're trying to like sell things at the same time. Like, and it's just nonstop, just these nattering of these idiots. And it's not that some of these guys could be great at just calling what's happening on thing, which is how wrestling used to be. They just called it like it was a sport. But since they've gotten away where now it's not wrestling, it's sports entertainment. Now they feel like they're free to just constantly be trying to like talk about stuff. I mean, or that's like how their business has been pushed. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, talk about this. There's someone in their ear yelling at them,
next thing.
Yeah. Say something about this. Use this exact phrase about what just happened. You know, the boss is in the back yelling into their ears about do this, do this. So it's not their fault. And they're also having to play like, they're not just themselves. They're basically playing like a character of themselves saying all this stuff. And it's like, you're the bad guy. You're the good guy. You're the guy just in the middle of whatever, you know. And it's just like, it grinds on your soul having to listen to them. And people will say like, people who don't watch wrestling would go like, oh, why don't you just mute it? And it's like, well, then if you mute it, you completely lose all of the energy of that, how the crowd is reacting to what's happening, which is like such a big part of it, like a really like what we would call a hot crowd. I did not mean to turn this into a wrestling episode. We're not going to do that, I promise. This is just all to talk about this awesome gift that Jess got me.
Seeing it live, you don't have the commentators.
Yeah, it's like a really lively crowd can make, not only can it like elevate when you're watching the match, how exciting it feels, but it can like really motivate and like get the adrenaline going for the people, for the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. You know, feed off that.
Feed off that. But if the audience is just sitting there like boring, you know, or just sitting there on their hands looking at their phones, it's like the wrestlers are like, well, I'm not going to go. They're like, why would I try to like kill myself out here for you guys when you're not even paying attention? But it's like if a crowd's really into it, it starts getting them excited about wanting to like work harder, you know, faster, better, you know, like. And so it's just, it's, you know, it's like a symbiotic circle where it feeds into each other and can make it. And when you're watching it, that's great. But if you mute it, you lose all that. You don't know how the crowd's reacting. You don't know. Anyway. And sometimes how the crowd reacts to stuff ends up playing into what happens later on. You know, it's like, man, the crowd had like a really crazy reaction to this guy that we were not expecting. Maybe we should do, you know, anyway. Yeah. So seeing it up that close, where you can hear everything that was going on in the ring and you've got the full buzz of the crowd and not just like seeing it on TV, but that you're there with, you know, you're part of that sea of people. You're surrounded by that crowd energy and you don't have to hear a word from those idiots. It was just like, absolutely.
Do you hear what the wrestlers are saying? Are they,
when they talk on a microphone
or they have to grab a mic? Okay.
But also we're close enough to them that we could hear them talking to like,
so you're real close.
Oh, we were literally, I mean, like, they were, when they would get thrown out of the ring and be, like, in the area, you know, the immediate outside the ring area, there was points where I was, like, this far away. Probably a little further back, maybe, but it was, like, so close where I was, like, I'm just seeing a real person.
Right.
It was just amazing. Like, and it's not like I haven't seen wrestlers close up before. I've met wrestlers, you know, and it's, but, like, seeing the thing going on and just, like, it was just absolutely incredible. And I was like, this is how I want to see wrestling from now on. And just noticing like little things about stuff that it's like you wouldn't, they don't show on TV because it's like while they're at commercial or mm-hmm. something, or just noticing things about them is like, oh, this is a real person who I can now notice the way that they appear on TV is like, doesn't take into account this, where it's like, man, this person is even more impressive looking. You're like, you're amazing. You know, the way you have sculpted your body right. into a superhuman shape is even more impressive when I'm, you know, 10 feet away from mm-hmm. you and just seeing you as a real person. Some of that stuff. And oh my gosh, what's happening actually in the ring there were instances where it's like, I know on TV, I know exactly what this looked like watching it on TV, but seeing it from just, you know, this far away, you realize how much more physical or like how much more it's like, holy cow, I bet that did not feel good.
Right. The athleticism.
And yeah. Just, but then there are, and of course it's also fun because there are some things where you can go like, I know how this looks on TV and it looks way faker in real life
okay.
because they know how the camera is going to catch right. it. But then there's some stuff where I'm like, TV does not do how dangerous that was justice. Mm-hmm. It's like you just get numb to it seeing it on TV all the time. But then when it's right in front of you, you're like, oh my gosh, that guy just jumped onto this other guy from like 8 feet in the air or something. And it's just like, how did he not just, how are they both getting up? You know, like during something happened on Monday where like a guy got kicked in the face and just immediately, I mean, it was an accident.
Yeah.
He just caught it wrong. But it immediately just busted open his face. Like, it was just, it ended up being a small thing, but it's just anywhere up here.
You bleed a lot, yeah.
Bleeds a lot up on your forehead. And his face was just bleeding. We were like, what? And it was like, we saw it happen. It was just yeah. like, you see the guy's foot and just catch him. And it was like, immediately. And that stuff, you're just going like, oh, these are real people. And it's not just on TV. And it's like, that really hurt. It sort of helps you be appreciative if you're not already, you know, of like how these people are like really putting themselves on the line to. Anyway, my point is that was like super amazing. Jess is great. Thank you so much, Jess. And plus, I got lots of awesome, wonderful, cool presents from April and, you know, and my family and stuff. So I was not even trying to get on a whole thing about presents, but I just wanted to talk about how cool it was since I've talked about wrestling on the show right. before. And it's like, that was such a neat experience. And also I just want everyone to know how cool it was that I hope everyone, I hope everyone go be friends with Jess, but don't actually, because I kind of don't want to share because she's my friend and I don't want her wasting her. Awesome,
find a friend like that.
Find a friend like Jess where you live, but don't, don't take, she can only give so many.
Maybe you better be a friend like Jess.
Oh, there you go. I don't know how you can do it though. When I said something to her about how great she was for all of that, she was like, yeah, no one compares to me, which feels fairly accurate. Anyway, so that's all that stuff. I know there was more stuff with that I wanted to talk about, but we have gone on for entirely too long. I say we. Me. It's my fault. I've gone on entirely too long about that. But I'm still just so jazzed about it because it just happened. And I'm like, anyway, it was really great. Anyway, also, it's so neat to know that, like, man, there's no way this person didn't just hear me yell at them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this. It's like, I know that this guy that I really like just heard me yell, like, way to go, fill in the blank, or like seeing the little kid with his dad sitting right in front of us who's like got his little, there's people with signs, you know, that they bring. This little kid had his sign he had made, but it was literally just on like a sheet of paper, but he was trying to hold it up to get the guy right. that he had made the sign for to see it. And he was just so excited and stuff like that. But also seeing like a couple seats down from me, there was this guy that was there with his elderly mom. And she was sitting there just the whole time, like with her glasses and her coat. She kept her coat on, was like just holding on to her purse the whole time. And just seemed like she was very, like, seemed sort of out of place. Mm-hmm. And her son was like, you know, grown up person. I assume it was her son. I don't know. Could have been who, and not important. Let's just go with that version of the story. But it was like, she was just sitting there so quiet. And I was like, man, why is she even here? Or, you know, it seems weird that whatever. Until the person who she was clearly there for showed up.
And she went nuts.
Then she, yeah, she went nuts. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. You know, and it's, it really bugs me when people act like the wrestling really has such an amazing cross section of people who like it for so many different reasons. And, it was, you can't get quite a good enough feel for that until you're like up in the middle of it and just seeing all these people. And I saw so many families there where it was like the entire family. And this was like my favorite thing of the night, of like seeing stuff like where saw multiple families where the entire family is just totally decked out in matching stuff for like the wrestler they all like. Most cases it was
John
Cena.
Do you know when you go which wrestlers are going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like,
they announce that in advance.
Well, you know who the roster, it's like if you go to see the Grizzlies, you know who's on the Grizzlies.
Okay.
So it's like the I mean, and if you watch it every week, you know who's on Raw, you know who's on SmackDown.
This is all new to me.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, Raw is the show that comes on Mondays. SmackDown is the show.
So certain people will be on that one. Certain people will be
they
on
have
that.
A Raw. It's like two separate rosters of like it's like their team.
Okay.
You know, there's a bunch of guys and girls on this team for this show, and this other show has its own roster of guys and
cool.
girls. And now sometimes stuff if there's gonna
this
be,
is where I admit I've not seen a wrestling in 20 years.
A wrestling. Well, it's like, but sometimes there'll be something on there like Brock Lesnar. Do you know him? Okay. Well, the only reason I thought you might know who he is because he's like a big name in sports. Because he was not just a wrestler. He was also like UFC heavyweight champion.
Okay. Well, maybe I know him if I saw him. Then.
He's like a person who gets, anytime something happens with him, it gets play in like ESPN and like gotcha. Regular, real sports news. But he's not on there every week, but he is the champion. And so they announced in advance, they were like, he's going to be in Memphis. Gotcha. He's going to show up in Memphis to respond to something that happened in a previous show. So like, that's something where we're like, we didn't know if he was going to be there, but we know he's on that roster. So there's like a chance.
Right.
But then they announced it ahead of time. He's going to be on there. And so everyone was like, there was a buzz. You'd hear people like, I think, or maybe we didn't know for sure. They said he might show up or something. I don't know, but. It was exciting.
Yeah, I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know if it was all surprise or if you know kind of who's coming
no.
or if certain matches are announced.
But you don't always know. Sometimes something will happen and it's like you bought the tickets months in advance because you're like, oh, the guy I like is on this show. And then something happens and he gets hurt. And so then he's off the right. road for months or something. And you're like, oh, I didn't get to see him. But, you know. Hopefully, you know, for the yeah. most part, you kind of know who to expect to
sure.
see.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, let's delete all of this and then we'll do a real episode. Anyway, so let's get into, now that I've talked about this for way too long, let's jump into talking about some of our best of 2017 stuff.
Yeah.
Let's run through some movies first. We always talk about comics. Let's run through some movies first. Or better yet, did you have any TV shows you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, we were talking about before. We watched stuff on Netflix that's not necessarily even come out this year, except part of it has.
I think our list, this is more the stuff that
we watched,
that we saw or read or whatever yeah. in 2017 that we really enjoyed.
It did not necessarily come out in 2017, but this is what we experienced.
Some of my stuff is going to be definitely like, this would be on my best of 2017 list, but then some of it is just like, I just got around to this. It was really good. So.
Yeah. CW's The Flash, I really like. Watch a Netflix series called The Crown about Queen Elizabeth. That was pretty cool.
It looks really cool. One of the Doctor Who's in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Matt Smith plays her husband. And I think we talked about this launch a couple weeks ago. The Winston Churchill, they've got the actor whose name I can't remember, but he does a phenomenal job. Anyway, that was...
Oh, is it John Lithgow?
Yeah, John Lithgow. Yeah. I just had a mental block on his name. But yeah, that's a really... That was a really good show. And then we're like on our third time watching through The Office as well.
It's funny. The Office still gets
Which
a lot of
Which if you somehow
play.
Slept on The Office.
Yeah, get on it, guys. There's a couple seasons you could probably skip. That is kind of the great thing about a show like that. We were talking about this earlier. Like these shows where people go, oh, the first two or three seasons are pretty slow, but then it really gets what, but it's The Office is one of those things where you could really kind of jump in
anytime,
anywhere around there. And even the episodes or seasons that seem like kind of, they were just grasping at straws for something to keep giving these people. But there's so many episodes. There's still fun stuff in those.
Right.
But you could also completely skip them and be like, eh, whatever. Yeah. You could skip right over some of those lesser seasons and just go to like the end and feel like you got there. You get the point.
Right.
You get what they're... yeah, The Office still gets plenty of play around here. It's like comfort food.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We want, if it's been a rough day, we don't want a heavy drama. Let's want to laugh a little bit. Let's watch a 20-minute episode of The Office and call it a night.
Well, speaking along those lines, Mike Schur, who is one of the people from The Office, and then he was the creator or co-creator, whatever, of Parks and Rec from The Office. Then his new show, which technically I think started in 2016, but which we have just started really getting into in 2017, into 2018, really.
Right.
But is The Good Place, which is just... so good.
I've heard good stuff.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
No spoilers, because we are not caught up, and we know that things we don't know what happens, but we know that things take some turns that really like ramp things up.
I didn't know that was the same creator as Parks and Rec and The Office.
He was not one of the creators on The Office, because the creator of The Office is like Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
But he was important.
The British version.
Producer, showrunner.
And then he was like a writer. And he was a writer and a producer on The Office. And he also plays Dwight's cousin, Moe's.
Yeah.
It's that guy. His name's Mike Schur. I can't remember if I said that already. But he... and then he created Parks and Rec. Or he was one of the co-creators.
I love that show so much.
Same. The Good Place is one of these shows that's like, we kind of started watching it right when it started because we heard it was going to be, because it was him. And I was like, I like this cast and this sounds like a fun premise and like, we'll see what happens. We kind of watched it a little bit and we're like, yeah, this seems good. But then it didn't really hook us in there for whatever reason. But then like once some things happened, apparently, or it really takes a turn with some stuff, or, you know, the things really get ramped up or whatever. And people just have really been talking about it a lot. We were like, man, we need to try to get in on this, or, you know, get caught up on this before everybody ruins it for us. And man, it's a lot of times I hate binge watching shows if it's something I haven't seen already. Cause I'm like, I want to see an episode and, have time to like kind of ruminate on it. Mm-hmm. And which is why I generally don't like Netflix's model of put it all out, and then it feels like you're in this weird rush to watch all...
So you don't get it spoiled.
Yeah, so you don't get it spoiled. Like with Stranger Things or like any of the Marvel shows where you're just going like, oh, I don't... Please don't spoil this for me.
I've still not seen Defenders or The Punisher.
I haven't finished Daredevil. The first season. Because I'm just like, everybody's already like talking about everything. I already know what happens. Like, you know, people have already spoiled stuff, and it just immediately... It completely takes that... If I don't have 13 hours to spare that opening day, it's like, well, forget it. Everyone's going to be talking about it. It's this where I'm, and it's also when you put this weird rush to watch things on something that you want to enjoy, it's like, man, I've been waiting so long for this Christmas dinner, but if someone's going to throw it away, if I don't finish it in 5 minutes, you know what I mean? It's like, just shove it in your mouth as fast as possible.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that stuff, it makes it really tough to, it makes it feel like, you put this weird, you know, aspect of it that makes it not fun.
I wonder too, if it's like reviewers get early copies of it. So a lot of the buzz you hear about it, they got to watch it. I don't know if they got to take their time with it or not, but like they didn't have the same pressure on them maybe to see it.
But a lot of them don't get the stuff early. A lot of them just sit there and...
Yeah, people take off work. And
as someone who has done stuff like that for... Sometimes we would do things where we got stuff early.
Mm-hmm.
But there was lots of times where it was just like, who wants to spend all weekend watching this and then immediately crank out, you know, an article about it or something. And it's like with these shows, I was like, a lot of these shows I feel like would benefit from talking about the episodes individually. But then when you're force. It's like, no, I have to talk about it all. I have to watch it all now and just talk about it like
and it's have something one, meaningful to say about it
and treat it like it's just a 13-hour long movie or something instead of like going this. But it's different episodes, different writers, different directors for a bunch of these things.
And I can't handle a 3-hour long movie.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, but sometimes my circling back around to my point, sometimes you get these shows where even though I normally don't like binge watching stuff, there's some shows where I'm like, this is so good. I do not want to stop watching it. I'm like really, and like getting to go, like something happens and immediately just feeling like once you're pulled in, feels like, so you're like, this does benefit from being able to, plus it's like when it's something really good, like The Good Place is and funny, I'm going, the thing that's pulling me in the narrative, even though that I'm going to know what that is. So it's not going to have that same, I'm going to want to rewatch this because it's so good and funny. The jokes are still going to be funny. It's not going to, you know, whereas the narrative, if it was just relying on the narrative, you would go, you'd watch it once and go like, that was very good. Okay. I don't need to see this again, but with something like this, that's what's kind of really cool about this is like each episode is like a chapter of this story. And, it's telling this one big story, but it's not, it's still good, like individually. You could just, I feel like you could just kind of watch an episode, and even though you wouldn't know exactly what was going on, the stuff that's fun and the character interactions are still so, Good Place is great.
Yeah.
The only other show I can even remember watching, much less going like, it was a similar thing, but on the completely other spectrum, was Westworld, which was just...
Yeah, I've not seen any of that.
Well, it was intense and awesome. Not for the faint of heart, for certain, because there is like some crazy, just top to bottom, all of the things that you would say, this is why this is rated, you know, right. R. It's got all of that stuff, you know, just violence and nudity and language, but it's so well done. I mean, every minute of it just looks like an incredible, it looks like, you know, a crazy expensive movie. Mm-hmm. The acting is, everybody in it is just so great. There are people in it who you're like, wow, I did not, you know, just the performances where you're like, even if you thought some of the people were good, you're just like, man, you're killing it. Killing it on this one. So good. And just twists and turns and blah, blah, blah. And even if you've seen the old Westworld movie, it's, you know, it's kind of like the premise is there, but it's so just unexpected and wonderful and super good. Would totally recommend to anyone who doesn't mind that it is definitely like rated R, that kind of stuff. But if you can handle that, then yeah, it's no kids. No kids are allowed to watch it. Do not watch it if you are a child.
I know a show that is the opposite of that. Do watch it if you're a child.
Okay.
Over the winter break, watched with the kids, and they definitely binged it. That Trollhunters show on Netflix.
Man,
it is so good.
Okay,
so good.
I've just been waiting for someone to tell me it was okay to start watching.
Guillermo
del Toro.
Del Toro. Yeah, it's got his fingerprints. I mean, he's the creator of it. So, yeah. But it feels like. So it's for kids, but it's definitely one of those where as an adult you're still going to enjoy it. It has a feel of like those I think it's the same studio, like the How to Train Your Dragon type. But it's like one of those movies turned into a TV show because the production quality is consistently good throughout.
Right. And it's not like they've made a TV show of that How to Train Your Dragon. And,
I'm not seeing that.
Okay. But they made a TV show of Kung Fu Panda, and the quality level on it is way lower than the movie. So it's, and I haven't seen enough of that How to Train Your Dragon show to know how much, but I mean, it obviously it has to be somewhat.
Right. Lower. It has to be a little bit, but this Trollhunters, it feels looks like great. It's not like that at all. It looks great. The characters are great. The jokes are great. Like just thinking about there's some laugh out loud stuff that I'm not going to spoil if you're going to watch it. Cause it's like, that probably as far as I wasn't even thinking about that when we were making our best of list, but cause we just watched it, you know, these last couple of weeks, but it would have come out in 2017. But Netflix Trollhunters.
See, it's got a lot of stuff that I was like, there was a lot of things in there that I was like, this is, it's on my Netflix list. Mm-hmm. I put it on my queue, you know, but it was one of those things where I was going like, just need someone to tell me that this is,
it's good.
That it's, yeah, I was like, just kind of been waiting for someone where I'm like, this looks really cool. It's got a lot of stuff I like. Someone please just tell me that this is worth starting on. Cause I was like, cause there's some of those shows where you're like, you know, I know this is a kid's show, but it's like, people have been talking about how good it is. So I'll check it out.
People were buzzing for Voltron.
Which was very good.
I feel
good.
Like this is the new, this is that year, this year's Voltron. Like it's a kid's show, but man, excellently made.
Voltron. Hey, I have not talked about, I don't think I've talked about it anywhere so far, but, and they're on like the third or fourth season of Voltron now, which I'm like, I'm so behind on, but it's like that first season, I like was,
I've only seen the first season.
Okay. But yeah, I was like, I was like so into Voltron as a kid. I don't know if that was like Voltron was a big deal for you, but, I was like, it's not my wallet now, but in my old wallet, I had this card from when I was a kid that I kept in my wallet where it was like saying I was a member of the Voltron force. Well, it was a thing I got at something we went to at this mall where it was like they had people in the Voltron character costumes and it's like, oh, you can meet Commander Keith or whatever and get, you know, sign up for be a part of the Voltron force. And like, I kept that in my wallet for forever. So yeah. And that show is so good. As a Voltron fan, it is to me at least. Clearly, you do not seem quite as enthused about it as.
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked it a lot. It's one of those.
I'm just trying to tell you, if you were not as big on it, don't feel like you're going to hurt my feelings.
I feel like I want to go back and rewatch it because yeah, my kids absolutely they marathon shows, and I feel like I don't know what's been lost for them to. It's always been an option to just marathon stuff, and so, but I don't have the same amount of free time that they do, so they got way ahead of me, and then so I try to jump in, but I missed four or five episodes, so that ruined the experience a little bit. I want to go back and start over, but I've seen most of season one. I think they watched season one and two. And they were super into it.
Yeah.
Like boy and girls. Like they're both they had stuff
I
in
feel
it
like
for
that
everybody.
Show is like handled every kind of, was a lot of stuff in that show that were like sort of tricky social issues that kids won't even know that the show is deftly handling so well. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those needles that are really hard to thread, I felt like it did such a good job with, which is part of why it has such a big online following. You know, it seemed like people were so excited about it. Was because it was doing all these things. And it's funny that kids watching it will have no idea how much work was going into making this like work so well for them. And it's going to be neat to see there's like all this media for kids now that is like working so hard to try to be like inclusive and like show different, you know, different things where, but put it in a way where it doesn't treat it like it's something to really take notice of. They just do it. And so it just seems totally normal to kids, and which means that it hopefully means there's going to be like a whole generation of kids growing up to where things that, you know, with people, they won't feel like there's any reason that these marginalized people or people that have been discriminated against in the past, they won't feel that way. Cause there's like, oh no, that's just normal. So it will be very interesting to see how kids grow up, you know, kids now grow up and how they, if it really does have that kind of positive effect that it seems like it would, and that I think the people making the shows certainly hope it will, you know, stuff like Steven Universe and any number of shows. You guys know if you're listening to this, you probably know all the shows we're talking about. But anyway, any other TV stuff for you?
No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's plenty. I want to run through real quick all of the 2017 movies that I saw in 2017 just to tell you, just to talk about what this year in movies was like. I'm just going to read the list off real quick of all the movies. So the first one I saw was Resident Evil, The Final Chapter. Oh, wait, no. Did that actually technically come out at the very end of 2016?
We're saying we're not worrying about that.
Okay. Well, I'll start with Get Out. Saw Get Out. Then I saw John Wick 2. The Lego Batman movie, Logan, Kong Skull Island, Baby Driver, and these are in order of release. Not necessarily the order I saw them, but Ghost in the Shell, Fate of the Furious, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Alien Covenant, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Homecoming, It, Thor Ragnarok, Coco, Justice League, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. How stacked was this year of, like, there's so many, almost all of these movies I really, really enjoyed. And I saw a bunch of other movies that weren't 2017 movies this year. And, you know, some of these movies, not great. Ghost in the Shell was not great, but it was like an amazing cinematic experience. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Blade Runner 2049 was probably this and even better, but I didn't see it. People that I knew that were going to see it saw it before I could go. So and April was not interested. plus I don't really have any real deep affection for the original Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. It didn't catch, like, I guess when I saw it, it was like past the time when everybody else was already like crazy about it. So I was just like, it's kind of a boring movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks great. It's amazing. You know, whatever. Ridley Scott's a great director, blah, blah, blah. Except Alien Covenant was absolute garbage. like really, of all the movies I saw, like looking at this, I'm sitting here staring at this list right now and I'm going, the worst movie I saw this year of 2017 movies was Alien Covenant. And it's like, if that's the lowest,
that's the low bar, yeah,
it's like, then oh my gosh, literally every other one of the, like, I think Lego Batman gets something right about Batman that no other Batman movie ever has. I don't want to spoil anything for these movies in case you haven't already seen
them. Lego Batman 2017,
yeah, it was like in February.
Yeah, no, that was a great movie.
Lego Batman was so good. And that's like a whole other thing we could talk about, but so I don't want to get into a whole thing. But then right after that you have Logan, which is like got to be the best Wolverine movie ever.
Sure.
Like, just so incredible. And so, like, you want to talk about a movie I was not prepared for emotionally. Like, I was not expecting to go in there and just be, like, devastated by what... I was like, I know he's going to be old and whatever, but it's like, I did not expect how well done that movie was going to be, and just sort of, like, the questions, the things it made you think about watching it. Just awesome. I have no idea how I could pick my best of, because there's like so many good ones. I mean, I guess I could do like, but that we got so many good just comic movies in 1 year. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I think, is probably better than the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And I absolutely loved the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Logan. I forget that it's even a comic book movie. It's so good.
Yeah, because it's not handled like one.
It's not handled, and it's like, it's handled like a Western, you know, but it's basically Shane, which they point out in the movie, though. They're like, they don't try to hide that that's kind of like what they're doing. But like, that we got an amazing, best Wolverine movie, the best Thor movie.
Yeah.
The best and only, not only the best Wonder Woman movie, but the best DC extended universe movie. The first DC movie that feels like a DC of this new stuff, obviously. Because we know there was good other movies. But like the first DC movie that feels like a DC movie should feel. Spider-Man Homecoming, which I think is the best Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. I think we agree on that. Bonkers. This is just absolutely bonkers that we got all of this in 1 year. And that's like, we haven't done an episode on it or anything, but Justice League, I totally enjoyed Justice League. It was, even with the stuff that I liked made up, was outweighed the stuff I didn't like.
Sure.
About
I liked it. Obviously you can nitpick on Justice League, but I liked it. We saw it twice.
Yeah. And that we got what I would say is one of the best Star Wars movies of all time in this same year. Like, Coco was...
Man, Coco, so good. So, you gotta see that
Coco
movie.
Coco is so, so good.
Man, you're just gonna cry like a baby.
Be prepared.
The whole third act.
Be prepared to cry during Coco, but it's so, like, emotionally rewarding that... I feel like sometimes people, like when you say, like, oh, this movie's going to make you cry, they're like, oh, I don't want to watch that.
Right.
But I think that the catharsis of a good movie that takes you on sort of like an emotional ride, I think that it's healthy. It's helpful. It helps you get some of those feelings out in like a controlled sort of constructive way that then leaves you feeling good at the end of it.
Yeah. And I heard they did away with the frozen short at
hallelujah.
The front of it. So that's an even better reason to go see Coco.
Yeah. yeah, man. Could not, don't be afraid of your feelings, folks. I think that some people just want to go to the movies and turn their brains off and watch something that's just 2 hours of explosions because they're like, I don't want to have to think or deal with any feelings. Sometimes I get that way when I'm like, I don't want to be confronted with the dark feelings of thinking about your mortality or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Sometimes though, it's like, hey, no, this works out really good. It's scary to think about it, but this is going to hold your hand and walk you through it and go, it's okay to be scared about it, or it's okay to have feelings about it. And then you come out on the other side going like, oh, I feel better. But you got to go through that part where you're crying. Man. Yeah. That was certainly the most I've cried during a movie in a while, but so good. So good.
So, I mean, I saw a lot of what you listed.
What you got your list?
Spider-Man Homecoming was definitely great.
Was that number one for you? You think, being such a big Spider-Man guy?
Yeah, I had Thor Ragnarok was on there. Somehow, I totally forgot about Coco, but as soon as you said it, yeah, that's definitely one of the best ones. And then we recently, around Christmas time, saw The Greatest Showman, which, man, it was a really good movie, great music, some really cool action sequences. I don't really want to spoil if someone's going to go see it. It's just like, man, I've not seen anything like that. And that's what you want. You go to the movies, you want to see something new. So I recommend that movie. It's good for all ages too. Yeah.
Sounds good. I haven't seen that one, but the way you described it both now and earlier when we were talking about it, which I'm not sure if was recorded or not, made it sound like something where I'm going, no, it did catch all that because we also talked about the post and anyway, well, whatever. That'll be its own thing. Maybe. I don't know. Cut all this out. all right. So real quick, let's talk about 2017 comics. And even though some of these comics for me are definitely not going to be from 2017.
Right. So some of these we've talked about a lot on the show already. So I don't feel like we don't need to say more about Mr. Miracle. But
no, but it's definitely on the list. And the Vision is at the top of my list, probably for, even though part of it was in 2017, but it would probably have to be.
The hardcover came out today, so we'll count it.
Came out today.
That makes it 2018.
Ooh. Well,
King's Batman.
With a bullet. Yeah. Issues, what is it, 36 and 37, which are the two issues that are drawn by Clay Mann, that are Batman and Superman doing a double date with Lois and Catwoman. Those are some of the, I mean, just...
That Batman Elmer Fudd.
So good. Yes. Shot. Yeah. Can you even believe that comic, that like all those, some of those, like my review on, I'm on goodreads.com or the Goodreads app. I think it's just the Chris Haley, but like my review for that, when we were going through stuff we'd read to try to work on these lists. And my review for that was, you know, 5 stars or something. And just what a crazy time to be alive that this comic even exists, you know, like just unbelievable.
And on my list of, we're still talking kind of DC-ish stuff. I had Superman on there. I've really been enjoying that book. And then it didn't actually come out in 2017, but that's when I finally got around to reading it, was Tom King and Tim Seeley's Grayson series, which I'd heard was phenomenal. I just hadn't gotten around to it. So I finally sat down and read all 5 volumes, I think, and absolutely excellent.
Yeah. Really my number one comic probably for this, Kaiju Max remains fantastic. Volume 3 started in 2017, I think. I don't think it's finished yet. I think it's close to finishing this season. I said volume 3, I meant season 3, sorry, because they do it in seasons. It's still just as great and such a roller coaster. But the thing that I was probably like the biggest in my mind, like the biggest, I started to say discovery, but that's not really accurate because it's not like, oh, I found this thing none of you guys know about. But the Claws by Grant Morrison and Dan Mora.
Yeah, I've not read it, but I've heard.
It's like All-Star Santa Claus.
That sounds great.
It is. Okay, so the original miniseries came out in 2015. And it was like 6 or 7 issues, I can't remember, where it's setting up Claw. It's like he, where he's laying out, here's the mythology, here's the origin story, here's how he becomes Santa Claus. But it's like he's a super, he's basically like this, you know, immortal superhero sort of version of Santa Claus, where it still feels like still there's toys and but it's like action and awesomeness. And it's like he's telling Superman / Batman story, all-star Grant Morrison. It's like Grant Morrison's all-star Superman, Batman rolled into one, but it's Santa Claus.
Right.
And then it came out, the miniseries came out in 2015. Then at Christmas time, 2016, there was a one shot called like, you know, Claus versus the, like the Witch of Winter or something like that. And then Christmas time, 2017, there was Claus Crisis in Christmasville or something. And so I hope that each year we're going to get a new one shot telling another. And it's like, so now you get this first one that tells you, here's the setup and kind of gives you his origin thing. And now each of these one shots is just from somewhere in his story.
Yeah.
Where it feels like you just dropping in on a random.
And then the one shots come out around the holidays.
And I hope they just keep doing that every year forever, because it is so good. And so it's so cool. The art is great. It feels very Grant Morrison-y, but it also feels like such perfect holiday fun. Mm-hmm. It's one of those where I was just like, after I read that one that came out this year, even though I read them all, I read it all in the course of this year or 2017. It's one of those things where I'm just like, man, this is one of my all-time favorite things, like Christmas holiday. It's just, it's so great. And I was like, this is going to be a thing I know I will reread every year now. And just, it's so great. So that would probably be my big one. But I also, just other quick things that I enjoyed this year. Surprisingly, I did not think I was going to. I've really enjoyed Metal.
Okay.
DC's Metal event. Not over yet, but I thought it sounded so dumb, and it kind of is so dumb, but it's like dumb in a fun way.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they'll land it. The very most, this is our top list, so this is not really, but the very most recent thing that came out, that Hawkman found, I was like, this needed to be a whole comic. I have liked a lot of the other stuff that they've done in Metal stuff so far. Yeah, I've enjoyed that.
Well, this kind of ties into that thing we were talking about earlier, though, is like how much stuff they used to just throw against the wall and let stuff kind of see what was going to happen. It's like you hardly ever see new characters anymore. It's like if there used to be like every month you were going to see something new in comics, you know? And it's like with spinning out of Metal, supposedly is going to be all this new Age of Heroes stuff,
right?
With a bunch of comics that all look. Not all. One of them I am very excited about.
The Terrifics.
The others, less so.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I am like really hoping. It's because it's just looking. It's like these do not look like characters that are going to stand the test of time.
No.
But you never know.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see them doing this, you know, taking a chance and going like, hey, let's see if any of these work out. It goes back to that kind of, I want comics to have that kind of wild energy and craziness.
Anything can happen.
You never know what character's going to, and I hope that they don't just like immediately cancel them all. I think it might be better to not have them all start their own books. It might be.
Yeah.
I know they're going to show up first in Metal and it's going to spin out of that.
There's only like a couple issues of Metal left, so I don't know how that's going to work either. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm completely open to being surprised and blown away by them, you know? I hope that's what happened. I would love to have more comics come out where it's like, oh, new, exciting, crazy energy. And here's new characters. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And it work and it feel exciting. And
I think the concept on, is it the Immortal Men? That one's, and that may not be the title, but that's the,
I think that's what it's called.
That one looks a little interesting too, but yeah, there's some of them that I'm like, this is not at my alley at all, but I'm welcome.
I'll flip through it, you know, at the shop. You know, or if it turns out, if the buzz on it is really good, you know, or if people start reading it or going like, you've got to check this out. I hope that, man, that's how I feel about all comics. I always want to be surprised and love the comics that I read.
Marvel stuff that was still consistently good. Still like Miss Marvel, Squirrel Girl, still like Spider-Man. I read Zdarsky's Star-Lord.
Uh-huh.
Which was during the Grounded story where the Guardians of the Galaxy were on Earth. And that was really good. It was Anka doing the
Chris
art.
Anka.
Chris Anka. And yeah, it was really fun. And just it's just like five, maybe six issues. So that one's a good one to check out. And then my favorite Marvel stuff came out at the very, very end of the year. That
know what this is.
X-Men Grand Design by Piss Corps that we talked about a little bit about, which is just, you just got to check it out. It's just, it's brilliant threading together all these old X-Men stories from the 60s and 70s into one cohesive narrative. The art style is fun. It feels like you're holding an old book in your hands, the paper quality. And then my number one top is Marvel 2-in-1. Number one, the first issue.
Only one issue and you're already like, this is it.
This is it. This is the best.
Yep.
Chip Zdarsky. And,
you can tell that Jim Matt Jones has been so desperate for the Fantastic Four. Yeah, talk about it, man.
Yeah.
It did not have the same effect on me that
I probably overhyped it.
No. I mean, I totally enjoyed it, but I do not have quite the same connection. Like, so we've talked about this before, but like the Wade Waringo Fantastic Four run, I love that so much, but it's more because of who was doing it, mm-hmm. not because I have that like, and it's really good, mm-hmm. but it wasn't because I have this just like built-in affinity for the Fantastic Four. I mean, I like them, but they're not like Superman to me. You know, they're not like one of my really, sure. they're not like one of my core characters that I'm just all about, but they are for you. So
yeah. They, it's got,
it was great. I mean, that first issue was great.
It's well drawn, and it's got moments of real emotional heart. It's got moments that are really funny. Yeah, and it's bringing characters back that Marvel's just kind of let. It's not that they've not been doing anything. Johnny's been in the Inhumans.
Ugh.
Ben's been on Guardians of the Galaxy, but they've not been doing.
We all know about the behind the scenes stuff. I think that which is all so much just BS. Like that, it's just disgusting.
Yeah,
awful.
But in the last few pages of the book, the emotional beat between Ben and Johnny, man, that's worth the price of admission. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's only been one issue, so we'll see where they go from here. But
yeah, they could totally screw it up. But
my expectation and hopes are high that it'll continue to be good.
I've talked about this before, the new Exo Manowar series that they just started in, I guess it was 2015, maybe it was like right at the end of 2016. I'm still enjoying it. Man, that's one where it just seems like things keep happening. It's like I keep waiting for you to get that moment where it's like, okay.
This is the breather issue.
The story hits like the ending. And it's like, next issue, we're going to start something else. But it's like, one thing just keeps leading into the next thing. And
how many issues in?
8 or 9.
Okay.
Maybe 10. I can't remember. I think it's actually, yeah, I think issue 10 has come out within the last month. And it's one of those things where I'm just going like, is this guy ever going to just like get to have a sandwich or something? Like, it's, oh man, you're just going like, what's next? What? And just, you think this is like, all right, he beat this guy. And then it's like, yeah. Who are these people? Which now that I'm thinking about it, we've talked about it earlier, it does have a little bit of that feeling of,
an older
kind of stuff just keeps happening. It's definitely more spread out, you know, it kind of gives the moments time to breathe and like to mm-hmm. take in the action and stuff, but it's totally, it's not going to be everybody's thing. And it's not like 5-star all time best, but it's just really good. And it's not, you know, it's kind of like an interesting take on, it's a guy who's kind of like a superhero, but not really. I'll pretty much recommend all of Valiant's stuff. It's all pretty good. But they put out so much good stuff. I'm so behind on everything. Right. Exo Manowar is like the only thing I've managed to mostly keep up with.
Right. I'm sure there's stuff that, I mean, if you're listening, you probably think, man, they're missing this, they're missing that. It's just that I've not read it yet because I'm so far behind. I'll get to it.
Or we just literally, it's like what we acted like we were, you know, really prepared for this. But it's like, I came up with this idea to do the best of stuff like while Matt was on his way over here. I've really been enjoying Chad Bauer's reboot of Youngblood. I guess reboot isn't the right word because it's just like a new, all this old stuff happened. But just to throw it out there, it's like, I think they're on issue 6 or 7, maybe 7. I'm a little behind on it.
Yeah.
But if you were, for me, and you know, Youngblood hits a real specific nostalgia button for me. And it's neat to see someone doing like, doing like a real comic with it. You know, after, I'm sure at any point he's going to get the rug pulled out from under him, because that seems to be what happens every time a real writer tries to do like a new take on Youngblood, they hit a point where Rob Liefeld just pulls the rug out from under it and goes like, oh, I'm taking back over. But I hope that doesn't happen because it seems like he's got some cool stuff that he's doing with it. And it's definitely worth checking out. And if you do check it out, tweet at Chad and let him know that that I'm thinking about him every time I read an issue. Which, and Chad and I still have talked about doing a James Bond podcast, but we were both like, we already listened to this one really good James Bond podcast. And we're kind of like, is there really any need to do another James Bond podcast when this one exists? But we both also want to talk about James Bond.
Yeah.
But it's totally worth checking out. That's the majority of the stuff I wrote down in the few minutes we gave ourselves to try to think about all this stuff. So check that stuff out. Yeah, man, I don't know. All right, everyone. You know what that music means. It means it's the end of the show. Unfortunately, Matt had to run. We ran right up until his time where he needed to leave to go do dad stuff. And so, you know, he had to run. But I'll go ahead and tell you, follow him on Twitter at XAMattDrain. And I'll put that in the show notes too, which you can find at keepitclosetome.com. I assume you know all of this stuff already, but just in case you don't, follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. Like I said, you can go to the show notes, get all that stuff at keepitclosetome.com. If you want the episodes early, plus other goodies you can get, and special things that I don't put in the regular show feed, you can get that stuff at patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions. We didn't get to answer them today when we recorded this, but we will get to record them in the future. I kept a log of all of them, and we're going to answer them all, so don't worry about it. Thank you so much to everyone who tweets about the show, who has supported the show on Patreon. Just all the good stuff. You folks are great, and I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening to this one. If you want to send us in your best of 2017 stuff, and we can talk about that too, by all means do that at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for everything. You're the best. And I'll just leave you with this.
Gobstopper brand cough lozenges.
That's what they need to make. It just lasts you all day. Like, oh man, this is really helping. I'm not recording any podcasts.